So I would show up when it would be convenient. And sometimes if I didn't feel for going to the gym, I wouldn't go. And sometimes when I did go to the gym, I still remember this actually painful thing about it. Like I would just show up and maybe start on the first exercise or two. And then I would be like, ah, fuck it. I'm going home now. And that was the workout of the day. This is the My Vegan Personal Trainer podcast with Remy, episode number 10.
Welcome to the My Vegan Personal Trainer podcast, where it's all about living a fit, plant-based lifestyle so you can thrive in life while caring for the planet and animals. And now, your host, medical doctor, CrossFit athlete, and online personal trainer, Remy.
Hey, it's Remy, and welcome to episode number 10 of the My Vegan Personal Trainer podcast. Wow, double digits. Next up will be three digits. But before that journey continues, then I just want to announce that this is actually the last episode of this first season of the podcast. Also, I would have loved to carry on and keep this show going. Because right now in the back end, we are currently working on upping the brand's visual identity, as well as further developing the current service that we have for our clients, where we'll be adding more recipes and training videos, which if you are following us on Instagram, you'll be getting a hint of as we move forward. I'm currently working with coaches and going through a course to help assist me in this process. So due to the combined workload of both having to maintain high quality service for our current clients and while going through this process of leveling up the brand, therefore it's the right thing to do. In today's episode, what we'll be going through is all the mistakes I made in my fitness journey. I've been serious and consistent for over 10 years now, and if I did not commit those mistakes, I would probably have achieved the results I have today in half the amount of time it took. It is likely that some of the mistakes that I have committed are some that you are committing right now, so hopefully this episode will increase your awareness of common mistakes that beginners typically make and help you get further faster. In hindsight, it's always easy to say, oh, okay, I should have done that, I should not have done that, but when you are in the forest, the dense, dark forest, finding your way, doing trial and error, you don't know sometimes what's up and down, then mistakes do happen, and it's actually part of the process. So even if you're committing some of those mistakes that I'll be pointing out today, or have committed some of them, that doesn't need to serve as discouragement. Just remember, it's part of the journey to have failures along the way. We obviously want to minimize those failures so that we avoid most mistakes that others have done. So basically learning from other people's examples, but that doesn't eliminate all mistakes. We will commit them. And this is a completely natural process of life. You go on a journey and you fix your problem, and now come the time where you help others in their journey. And now, because you've already found a way to this goal, then you can also help those people get to the goal faster. So this is what I intend to do for you in this episode. Make sure you stick to the end, because I'll be giving a good handful of bonuses in terms of resources. So what people to follow, what books to eventually get, and also what research review it could make sense for you to get subscribed to as you move along in your fitness journey. Subscribe if you're not a member of the tribe already. And now, just a boring disclaimer. The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not meant to take the place of professional medical, dietetic, and fitness advice. Consult with the relevant professional for your specific situation. And now, without any further ado, let's get into the meat of episode 10. Mistake number one, not setting SMART goals. I started working out in the gym when I was 16 years old, and in the beginning phase as a lifter, the first 2 to 3 years in that journey, I could have set better goals, SMART goals. SMART being an acronym for S being specific, M measurable, A attractive or realistic, and T that there's a time constraint, so there's a deadline. As a super skinny teenager, my main goal was to just get away from that, to build muscle. That was the main goal. And visually be able to, from my point of view, be able to view myself as not being skinny anymore. So the goal, I would say, was fairly specific and measurable as well, even though it's not like I have a number. Although I would be weighing myself, but it would be more on based on a body photo with my own subjective assessment of it. And A, attractive, that it was, so that I did have a reason to push through, and or it was realistic of a goal. But what I didn't have was, I didn't set a deadline. I did not say, okay, by this time, then I should have achieved this goal. And the reason for me not having a deadline was, first, I just didn't think about it. I didn't have any external pressure in terms of, I had to get this achieved so that I could do something with it. But it was more just a personal goal. I just wanted to get away from being this very skinny teenager. But if I did have a deadline, I would be more serious when I just started out, and I would be able to generate results faster. Another reason why I did not have a deadline as well, which is actually a big contributor to it, is also that I did not have enough knowledge in terms of what can I expect? How fast am I supposed to see things happening? And this lack of knowledge is linked to mistake number 3, which will come in a bit. Mistake number 2, not being consistent. In the beginning years of my lifting journey, for when I was from 16 to 19, 20-ish, I did have a gym membership, but I was not very consistent. Like I am today, where I pretty much consider like a job, which is a shift I did mentally when I was around 19, 20. So I would show up when it would be convenient. And sometimes if I didn't feel for going to the gym, I wouldn't go. And sometimes when I did go to the gym, I still remember this, actually painful to think about. Like I would just show up and maybe start on the first exercise or two, and then I would be like, ah, fuck it, I'm going home now. And that was the workout of the day. This is also why the name of my coaching program is called the Plant Powered Lifestyle Program. And I always spend some time in the onboarding process with new clients that, okay, we need to make sure that the mindset here with everything that we implement is a lifestyle change. Because if we are just doing it for a period or just focused on the end result, then we won't get there. It would be very unlikely to get there, at least, because this is a long game. When I was about 19, 20, that's where I could see, okay, I'm not really making much progress. And I was like, we have to change this. I'm going to regret my this for the rest of my life if I don't make the change now. So I basically flipped it mentally, where I said, okay, no. Now we are fully committed to this. So when it came to training, I did everything to show up to all my workouts. Obviously, it's not because things were perfect. Sometimes you would miss workouts for whatever reason, but it was more like, okay, it's a must now. Same thing with food. For me, as being a very skinny individual, it was important for me to gain weight. I had to eat more food. So I would, there in those first 3 years of my training journey, I would be in a calorie surplus, sometimes not. So my weight was just going up and down, was spinning my wheels, and was not going anywhere. So what I then did instead, as a rule for myself, it was, okay, I'm not going to bed until I have eaten all my food. That's the only time I'm then allowed to go to bed. So sometimes that did lead me to being awake past midnight, still eating my food, because I have not been eating much during the day. Mistake number 3, not submerging myself enough in an environment of wisdom. So here I mean learning the ins and outs of fitness, connecting with other people, especially people who are more advanced than the stage I was at, acquiring new knowledge, getting training partners. I did all of that, but not to the extent I would if I would go back and redo my fitness journey. I did look for help in the gym when I just started. There was a fitness instructor who made a training program for me and got me started. And I did read online. I went on bodybuilding.com and I would get training programs there, go by those programs and read different articles. But I just didn't do enough of that when I look back now. And now this was not really a thing at that time. But now, if, for example, you are totally new to some topic, it can make a lot of sense to actually follow people who are experts, who are involved in whichever topic it is that you are interested in learning about. So that your feed is educating you on what you are aiming to get better at. If I had to do the whole journey over again, then I would, as soon as possible, then I would hire a coach, or find an experienced friend to help me through the whole process and really understand the ins and outs, invest in courses to really know what's up and down in this world, especially in the fitness world. You hear so much from so many people because they're there are tons of ways of getting results, but what is the fundamental principle in terms of me getting better, and what's more important than other things? And yeah, just to basically understand the landscape better, faster. Because like with anything else, once you learn it and get it implemented in your life, it's really not that complex. The value I got from hiring coaches and taking on courses have really eliminated a lot of headaches, a lot of second guessing that I would be having consistently, and in turn have also optimized my results. Another thing I would do different as part of creating an environment of wisdom in the fitness realm is to actually seek out training partners who are preferably more skilled than me. I did actually seek out training partners, but they would often either be at my level or below. But if you can surround yourself among a group of people who are just better than you and wilder than you, who know more about fitness than you do currently, then you learn a lot from those guys and girls. And the main reason why this didn't happen, that I didn't have training partners who were more skilled than me, was actually my own insecurities stopping me from that happening. I thought that it would not be interested in hanging out with me and training with me because I was a beginner, and therefore they would not really get any value from hanging around with me. But now looking back, I couldn't be more wrong, because maybe as a beginner and now you having a training partner or in a community where people are generally more advanced than you, they will be able to provide you a lot of value in terms of fitness and knowledge, how to get things done and set up. But you typically always have something to provide as well. Let's say you have an advanced training partner who's been doing it for quite some years now and you're fairly new. I'm not saying you're so new that this training partner has to act as a personal trainer for you, but more like you can fairly manage in the gym, but you are nowhere near that training partner's level. Maybe you can't provide knowledge in terms of how to get fit, how to get stronger, but you do provide accountability by having an agreement like, hey, we are meeting up at the gym at this time. And you do also provide support. You're also able to inject your energy into the relationship. As a beginner, we tend to be more enthusiastic about everything. Everything is new. We are, especially as a new beginner, we are evolving pretty fast, getting stronger pretty fast. So that enthusiasm, that joy for lifting, could be that the other training partner who's been doing it for much longer than you has maybe, you know, like it's been losing this enthusiasm a bit, and you might be the person who is helping him or her re-spark it into him or herself. Just an example, last year I was, as part of a freediving goal I had, I was actually training with an elite freediver. I was training for a small event, but this training partner, he was training to compete in national and world championships. And I did ask him in the beginning, before we really started getting to do sessions together, where I would be asking him, but does it make sense for you? I'm totally new beginner in this world, and you're an elite freediver. He told me exactly this, what I just told right now, that this enthusiasm and this joy for freediving was something that I helped him spark it in his own training, because he's been doing this for years, and at that point in time when I was training with him, he was not as enthusiastic about freediving as I was, where everything is completely new and everything was just interesting. That was mistake number 3. Next, mistake number 4. Complacency. So from 20 to 22, 23, that's where I made big changes to my physique, and I actually achieved my goal that I had set, which was to get away from this skinny teenager look. That was also around the time where I actually started this project very humbly I just started a Facebook page where I started posting videos, not really knowing what I was doing, but that's how things typically start. So actually happy, I was very confident and happy, like, oh wow, I achieved this. And I then got complacent for a year or two, where I did still make some progress, but it was not as much as I could have in that period. Because I was like, well, I'm there, I know enough now. I don't know. I didn't need to learn more. I know everything that I need to know about fitness. I'm good. But the thing about life is it's so complex that it's best to just adapt the mindset that either we are getting better or we are getting worse, because it's virtually impossible to get to be at a stagnant, real actual maintenance phase. So better to be lean forward and make sure that we are actually pushing to get better. Also think about it, like when you are in a maintenance, when you're just maintaining things, it also gets boring. It gets old pretty quick. You start realizing that this time where I'm just being complacent, I could actually be pushing it. And instead of being the same place I was last year, next year as well, I could actually have improved myself and gotten much farther. And this not only applies to fitness, but in any other walk of life. This is just my point of view. There's actually nothing wrong with maintaining, but if you could get better, why not do it? Having that mindset also translates to every other thing. Like when you're having a relationship with someone, it's not like you can just say, we're good, let's just not work on this anymore. Then soon there will be trouble. That's also why when I set goals with clients, that they actually stress the importance of making sure that the current process is enjoyable and sustainable. Because once you hit that goal that you had put on a pedestal, one day you will achieve it if you stay consistent. And then what now? We just stop here? No, you set new goals. And you will automatically be like, okay, now I want more of this. Because now you've gained more awareness within this world. And you have dived into your curiosities. And you're like, okay, I want to learn more about this. More calisthenics or have a better squat. Progress is happiness. Next mistake, number five, based on my personal goal and what I typically tend towards, which is more performance than how I look. Obviously, in the beginning, the goal was to not look skinny anymore, to get away from this skinny guy look. But if I would zoom out and really look at the big picture, the goal of training has never really been about just looking good. And that's that. It's always been more about performance than looks. My approach to life in general has always been about performance and then things looking good being a bonus in the end. Sometimes I would not even care about the bonus. As long as I would know I'm doing the right job, then I wouldn't care how things look on the outside. I wouldn't dress very well as I was a teen. I was always wearing jogging clothes. But in that initial phase of my fitness journey, where it was aesthetics that was more important than performance, then I just focused on hypertrophy training in that period. But if I could do this over again, what I would do instead is actually just focus on getting stronger and performing exercises with excellent technique. Because as you get stronger, you will also build muscle. You're also getting hypertrophy when you're having strength as your focus in your training. But again, there's nothing wrong with having hypertrophy as focus. If being a bodybuilder and hypertrophy is all that really matters, then you can definitely just focus on hypertrophy. Now, I'm just saying this based on my goals with my fitness when I look at my whole fitness journey, when I'm zooming completely out. Mistake number six. I would sometimes have 4 to 5 hour workouts because I was basically just catching up from sessions that I have missed. Now, there's nothing wrong with catching up. Let's say you did miss something from a session and then you put it on to another session. It's okay. But where the problem happens is if you are missing complete sessions and now you're just trying to catch up all of that in one day, you quickly get tired, fatigue will hit, and you won't perform very well. And you can even put yourself at risk for injury because now suddenly you're just doing a lot of work in one day that more than you're normally used to. And it won't be very productive training that you're doing. So looking back, catching up would be fine. But if it's complete workouts, then rather just say, well, it was a missed workout. We just get back on track from tomorrow. We just continue with the plan from where we left and then move forward. And the missed workout is then to serve as an example of us having to strive to get those workouts in. Mistake number seven, not listening to my body when it would actually be begging for rest and recovery. Back in 2017, due to the combination of me just having learned Olympic weightlifting and still learning just in this process where everything is new and exciting and just want to do more and more of it, combine this with me not getting optimal sleep and not feeling too well based on my relationship to my girlfriend at the time, where I think we're getting a bit stressful. The combination of actually overdoing training, not only doing my regular strength training, but also having Olympic weightlifting training on top, together with not being able to recover properly or as optimal as I could if I was not under a stressful situation, that led me to actually getting injured. It was both in my left wrist, my left elbow, my left hip, and my left knee. To be honest, I really was not sure if I would get over this. It was just painful. I would just, even if I would lift an empty bar, I would have a lot of pain in my joints. So I spent a whole year where I would be going low weight, high reps on machines and getting my body back up to pre-injury state. But if I actually listened to my body and gave the rest that it asked for, when I really could feel this soreness in my knees, in my wrists, in my elbows, to actually take more rest than maybe is planned in the training plan. Sometimes life happens, and it's important that we do adjust according to life circumstances, that we're not fully rigidly focused on what is written on that piece of paper and ignore our symptoms. Now, I'm not recommending that you go and get an injury, but ever since I had this happen, I've become much more in tune with my body, and I know what signs to actually look for when it happens. And sometimes injuries just happen, and when it happens, it's just important to keep a positive attitude towards it and see it as a learning opportunity, because that's what it ended up becoming for me. So now my risk of injury is much less because I had that incident happening. But you don't need to get there where you have one whole year where you're off regular training. Just important that we pay attention to those signs that our body tells us. So those are my main mistakes that I believe can be very valuable to you on your own journey. But we won't end there. I will also be giving the good things that I do, so positive examples. So first thing, and very, very important, is doing it for the right reasons. So when I first started my fitness journey, I was 16, 17. You would often see fellow trainees where they are serious for a period for like 6 months, then they get a girlfriend, and boom, they're suddenly out. And you see them 1 year later, and they look nothing like what they were 1 year before. So from the very start, when I actually started, I was aware of this happening where guys train just to look good for attracting a mate, where I knew that if I would have the same approach, then the day you get a girlfriend, suddenly you don't have any reason to work out anymore and you discontinue that process. Obviously, it's a nice thing if it helps you get a girlfriend or a boyfriend, but it should rather be viewed as a bonus. You're doing this for yourself. I can recommend this becoming a lifestyle, as I already mentioned. Another thing that I did very well and that I continue to this date to actually focus on is to only focus on where I am and where I was yesterday, and focusing on just beating me and getting better from where I was yesterday, and not looking at someone's chapter 30 and compare it to my beginning chapter and now getting discouraged because, oh, I can't lift 200 kilos, but this guy can. It's not fair to yourself as a trainee. You're discouraging yourself without any need. It doesn't make sense. It's stupid. And at the same time, also, it's just kind of disrespectful to that other individual who's been doing this for years, and you just started, and now you think that you somehow deserve, and you're entitled to be able to lift the same amount of weight or look a certain way because you've just been consistent for 1 month. And this actually not only is something I see in the gym, but you also see it in all other walks of life. It's human nature to compare ourselves to others, but you want to do it in a constructive way so that it actually makes sense. Like, you'll be looking at what others are doing as part of, okay, this is research, this is market research, how does the landscape look like, where am I in relation to that landscape, and that's that. It shouldn't be like every time we are in the gym, now we are looking, oh, okay, what is he or she doing? Oh, what is he or she doing? Oh, okay. No, we're just focusing on us. there come the time and place when it makes sense to do those comparisons and see where we are at and gauge our progress in that way could be a way of doing that. But it shouldn't be standard practice because then it takes focus away from the actual process and we focus more on the result. Oh, am I there yet? Am I better than this guy, this girl, or worse than this guy or girl? Doesn't matter. The most important thing is that we're getting better than the one we were yesterday. Everybody else is just an alien. They're not giving or taking anything from you. Their success does not take anything from you. Third thing that I did well was, even though now I have said that I differently, what I would have done is search for more wisdom, more knowledge faster. But what I, even though I did not do it to that intensity that I would like, and being in a situation where I did not know everything, I still did do something. I was whatever I knew, I just did what I knew. So it's not like I just sat on my ass and I didn't do anything and just waited till I got everything figured out and now I start. But I just kept going. And as I kept going over the years, I learned more and more and more, and also refined the process. And today I'm at the point where I help other people get through this journey. It actually relates to episode 009 about this all or nothing approach, where it's more about always doing something. Strive to do your best in the situation you do find yourself in. Because if you keep going, at one point you will make it. It might not go fast, but who cares if it took you 5 years to get somewhere versus 1 year? You still got there. Last thing I want to mention that I also did well that I would like to encourage you to do as well is follow your curiosities in the fitness realm. You should always be striving to follow your curiosities in life itself in general. But when it came to fitness, I really followed my curiosities and I still do that to this day. So I just started just focusing on bodybuilding type of training. Then I got curious about CrossFit. I was very inspired by military training, and I stumbled upon CrossFit. I tried that out. I actually vomited my first workout of the day in CrossFit, and I fell in love immediately. So I was like, okay, we gotta keep going doing this. Later on, I went in and got more interested in calisthenics, bodyweight training. And doing some tricks. I got interested in running, swimming, freediving, and I just went into those. Maybe at first it didn't make quite sense. Why should I have this in my life? How would that take part in my life by going for those curiosities? But just going out there, making connections, will over time make you understand what the place of this thing that you have just stumbled upon. An important aspect when it comes to adherence to your training and nutrition, to your fitness journey, is actually the component of enjoyability. And the more you do this, of following your curiosities, the more you find things that you're actually interested in, that you love doing, and this enjoyability to your fitness journey will help you actually stick to it for hopefully the rest of your life. So let's say right now you're doing some training, you don't really feel it, you don't enjoy that much, go try something else. Go do MMA or boxing or other type of activities. There's so many sports, so many physical activities you could be doing rather than only doing bodybuilding training in the gym. And what has actually been a game changer for not only my fitness but for my life is from what I did in the beginning of my 20s was actually a friend of mine. He came across a fitness model called Greg Plitt. He passed away due to an accident. He had before been a ranger in the army and was now at that time a fitness model. The mindset he had, the things he was saying, I resonated 110% with it. But I was not living 100% according to whatever he was saying, the mindset, the approach to life he was preaching. And so by just being curious about this person, and I just kept watching his videos on repeat, basically to brainwash myself to think the way he would be thinking, it actually led me to make some big changes in my life going forward, not only in fitness, but actually also led me to create this business, and now we have a podcast today. So this person actually became a role model, a mentor, and let's say you can't afford a mentor, just by finding someone online that you really resonate with, that you find that have the same values as you, or you want to be more like, just consume, binge their content, hang out with them by consuming their content, and you'll find you'll start to think, talk like this person as well. And over time, your life will also look more and more like this person. So those were the things that I did well, and that I can recommend you implement in your life as well. We have now reached the bonus section of today's episode, where I will be sharing valuable resources that can help you on your fitness journey going forward. First off, check my Instagram at @myveganpersonaltrainer, where you can watch the list of people I follow and go follow people that you are interested in. It's all about making your feed experience about the very topics you are focusing on getting better at. Next, I can recommend you grab the Muscle and Strength Pyramid books by Eric Helms, Andy Morgan, and Andrea Valdez. Upon purchase, you will be having access to future editions, and by going through those two textbooks, you will be able to answer most, if not all, of your burning fitness and nutrition related questions. Last but not least, this last piece of resource is especially for the guys and girls who want to really nerd things out and constantly be updated of new studies that come out. And if that's you, then I would recommend you go check out the research reviews MASS, and the research review Alan Aragon. They come out monthly with new issues, and if you stick to reading those, you'll be on top of things. The mentioned resources will be linked in the show notes. Thanks for listening to episode number 10 of the My Vegan Personal Trainer podcast. Make sure you hit the subscribe button if you haven't already, so that you get update of when the next episode is to come out in the future. That will then be season 2 starting. Last but not least, if you need guidance, help in your current fitness journey to get further ahead faster, then you can apply for my online fitness coaching program, where we start off with seeing if we are a good fit. And if yes, and we have spots available, then we can get you going. Change your mindset, change your life.
Thanks for listening to the My Vegan Personal Trainer podcast with Raimi at www.myveganpersonaltrainer.com.